Close your eyes a moment. Give him praise. Exalt him. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Just like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. You are beautiful beyond description, to marvelous for the world, to wonderful for comprehension, just like nothing ever seen nor heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. Everybody say, I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, and I stand in awe of you. Say, I stand in awe of you. I'm amazed, Lord, I stand in awe of you. The holy God, to all of our praise is you.
All our praise is
God, we thank you tonight. We are amazed at your glory and who you are. We are amazed at the testimonies of your goodness. We are amazed that you love us first. We are amazed at the sacrifice you've made for us. We are amazed at how you love us. We are amazed at how you guide us, how you protect us, how you provide for us. We are amazed at everything you do, and even much more, we are amazed at who you are. Thank you. Thank you for being you. And thank you for being for us. Thank you because tonight, once again, you'll open up your word to us. You will speak to us. Both here and online, wherever people may be, even later, it will speak to us. It will change our lives. Because every word of God is full of living power. We thank you for utterance. And we thank you for hearing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so go in your Bibles very quickly. I say that we don't have a lot of time on Thursdays. And tonight, I'm speaking on again, I think, is that part 3 now or part 4? Why you should speak in other tongues. Part 3, why you should speak in other tongues. But what I'm going to do tonight actually is like I'm going to put everything together. Hopefully, systematically following notes, amen, and then put it all together. I think I've spoken on 2 points each time, so I'm going to talk about 6 points, so I'll do the last two, but plus the first two. So I might go a bit faster on some things because I believe I was spoken about them, and then I'll end up in maybe the two that we haven't spoken about before. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to flow, amen. So I always tell people that I have my notes, but there are a lot of things that I say that are not in those notes. So they just come. So the preacher also tends to hear many things for the first time that he didn't prepare. Amen. Hallelujah. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to take off from 1 Corinthians 14 today. So good to be here. I'm trying to sum up, you know, that teaching. I'm still trying to sum up the one I've been doing on Sundays on relationships. Life is about relationships. But this one, we will finish by the grace of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. Anyway, I've discovered that over time, one of the very important things for people to do or to learn or be introduced to after getting saved is getting filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's great that you had people who gave their lives to Christ. But we must always take people to the next step, okay? Take people into the next step. I think that's, is that Matthew chapter 12? I'm not sure where Jesus was teaching. And he talked about the fact that when a devil is cast out of a person, he says that devil goes around looking for where to dwell, okay? And if he does not find, maybe you'll help me on the console, if he does not find a place to rest, it says it comes back with 7 worse devils. You've read that before in your Bibles. And they come and he comes and he finds. This is the key point why I'm saying it. He comes and he finds that place where he was before, which is that person, okay? It says he comes and he finds it clean and swept and empty. Okay, that's the key thing. The fact that you come, he comes, and he finds it empty, clean. Yes, it's been cleaned out. He's saved, is whatever, you know, so it's been cleaned out. But he says he finds it empty. And then he comes back in with 7 worse devils. He says, and the last state of that man is worse than his former state. Okay? Yes, so it's Matthew chapter 12. Great. So he says the last state is worse than his former state. And one of my experiences with casting out devils, maybe some other day, sometime soon, we'll talk about casting out devils, okay? But one of my experiences with casting out devils, and then again, let me just say this, that the Bible doesn't quite spend a lot of time trying to separate, you know, what people get into theological debates about. Is a person just, you know, attacked by a devil, or is he demon-possessed? Is that devil in his body, or is in his spirit? And all that. The Bible doesn't really deal with much of that. What you find in the New Testament is simply the word demonized, meaning he has a demon problem. whether that demon is in the spirit or is in wherever it may be, he has a demon problem, okay? And a lot of times there are demonic problems, even sicknesses that are demonic that people, I mean, they brought a man to him once. The Bible says that the man was, he had a mute spirit. A mute spirit. So he was dumb because of his spirit, okay? And then he cast out the spirit and the man could speak. So that's just, it's just demonized. Okay, but then at the end of the day, the Bible says that if you leave people just empty, if you leave them just empty, then the devil can find a space in them. Okay, so one of the things I found in terms of filling, if you remember, the Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Ghost the infilling with the Holy Spirit, the infilling. So I found out that it's one of the ways to help people to stay away, break away from demonization and all of that, is get them filled with the Holy Ghost. So now that they are saved, get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And remember that when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not a one-time event. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5 talks about what? Be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Be not drunk with wine. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein there's debauchery, the old King James calls it. Okay? It says, but be rather filled with the Spirit. In the actual Greek, what he said is be continually filled. Actually, what he says is be being filled. Be being filled. You know, so when you say, how can I use being in any language? He's being stupid. What does it mean? His stupidity is present continuous. Isn't it? Yes, his stupidity has started and it's not stopping. So he's being stupid. That's what it means. Otherwise, I would just say he was stupid. It means he was stupid that time. But when I say he's being stupid, I mean he started stupidity and he's continuing in stupidity. Okay? So when he now says, be being filled with the Spirit, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, old King James calls it debauchery. He says, but be being filled. So the easier way to explain that is be in a continual state of being filled, meaning always keep being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are being filled all of the time, it means that you will not never be empty enough for any devil to have a place in your life. Can I have an amen? So I found that it's very key, you know, to get people filled with the Holy Ghost and get them to be being filled. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that Acts 2 verse 4, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that happened to the disciples or the apostles and all in Acts chapter 2. But then they got to Acts chapter 4, and the Bible says that they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought they were filled in Acts chapter 2. That is what? Be being filled. Can I hear you say, be being filled? So look at your neighbor, say, be in a continual state of being filled. So it's critical, it's crucial. I think that you can't live, an overcomer's life as a believer if you are not in that continual state of being filled. Now, how do I get in that continual state of being filled? By speaking. Okay, so even in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, and it says, but be being filled in the Spirit. I mean, and then it says in verse 19, it says, what? Speaking. Speaking. So what you do is you speak. You fill yourself by speaking. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Even though there he says, what? Speaking to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But speaking is what you do. Amen. But one of the great primary things to do is to speak in other tongues. So we go back to our main text, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18. Paul speaking here, just one verse, says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. If I had the anointing of Fred Casey Price, we would spend the next 4 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, on this one verse. You know, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. It means, it implies something when somebody speaks this way. It implies first and foremost, and I think we already said a bit of that, it implies that there's something good about this. If the man is thanking God
that he speaks in tongues more than you all, it means there's a secret he knows. You know, if you don't just thank God for everything and then thank God for that thing, in quote, in comparison to somebody else. Oh, I thank God that, you know, you can stand sometimes, and I'm sure that, Uche knows what I'm saying. There are times you thank God you are this tall. Isn't it? Yeah, you don't need a stool to pick certain things. You just thank God. There are even some bulbs you change. You don't look for anything. So you thank God that you are that tall. There are times you don't thank God. That you suffer, you know, that there are things you suffer that you feel like, these short people are enjoying you. You know, I remember the first time I was on a night bus, well, the only time actually. I went on a night bus to Abuja. And I thought, okay, to be comfortable, let's enter luxurious bus. You know, as they call it, luxurious bus. So I entered a luxurious bus. There was no luxury for me. You know, none at all. Because the seats were packed. So you can imagine sitting that way for 8 hours. And I kept saying to myself, what is the luxury in this bus? Because I was suffering. I was in serious pain. I was suffering. I thought to myself, I'll be better off in a station wagon or a car than in this luxury. But I wanted the luxurious bus because they called it luxurious. Are you there? So it says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. It means that there is something about that speaking in tongues that this man knows. There's a secret about it. Again, when somebody says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, I like biographies a lot. So again, you have to ask yourself, who is saying what he said? Who is this person? This is the same Paul who was not one of the 12 apostles. Okay, but who ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament? So there must be something about this. Somebody once said that the secret of men are in their stories. Okay, so when the man is talking, when he's writing his letter, and he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, it's just one short sentence. But you stop by and you say, that thing that Paul said, that must be the reason why he could write 2/3 of the New Testament. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the reason why Paul could stand there and he gave us the most graphic description of the communion table and the explanation of the communion table. Now, why is that very special? Because Paul was not there. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't there. He was not one of those people sitting around the table when the man took the bread. He didn't even just tell them, oh, he took bread, wine, and he shared it with them. And he said, it's my blood and my body and all of that. He didn't say so. He said he took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he was describing like he was seeing something. But he wasn't there. So it looks like his depth of revelation probably had something to do with this. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You know, so when I started off in the faith, I'll go to church. I mean, I grew up in a denominational church, non-Pentecostal. But then we'll attend, you know, fellowships, full gospel businessmen's fellowship, blah, blah. We'll attend, you know, different places like that. And I will listen to people. There was some power in their words when they spoke. They had experiences of encounters with God that inspired me. And as they shared and they taught and all of that, and I thought, wow, this person has revelation knowledge. This person seems to know God. Wow, the story he shared and all of that. As I'm being inspired by that, the man will share something and say, you know, I wake up early every day to pray. I say, that is the secret. He just mentions that on the side, just in telling something. He said, then I woke up that day as I usually, I said, so this is what he does. Then he says, then I do this. I say, hey, so fasting is part of it. Then so that is part of it. Then I'll say, I too will start doing that. Are you following what I'm saying? So when Paul writes this, you can tell this is a secret. Paul has just leaked a secret to us. I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. It also means that there are many things Paul could have spoken about. You know, I thank my God, fast more than you all. I thank my God, because again, when you look at certain things, there are priorities in the Bible. So if you find certain things, it's just like in anybody's life. There are certain things that are priorities to you more than others. You understand what I'm saying? So if by listening to you, I can tell what seems to be more important to you. So I look at Paul's writings, and I can say to myself, how many things did Paul write about that he said, I thank God I do this more than you all? Are you still here? It means that he's telling me a secret of his journey. That in the things in life, in his life and ministry and all of that, this is a very important part of it. That's why we saw, I mean, we read that when we were praying, that Paul was also speaking. So if you go up a few verses, he says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. So this is what I'm going to do. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. And somebody was sharing one day, and I saw it. I said, wow, that is true. If he says, I will do this, and I will also. It looks like he's placing an emphasis on that praying in the Spirit. But telling me, hey, I will still do this other one. No. But it looks like, do you understand what I'm trying to say? It looks like he's placing an emphasis on praying in the Spirit. He's putting an emphasis on singing in the Spirit. But still then reminding me, that doesn't mean I don't do the understanding. I will do that one as well. Oh. That's also part of the package. But this one, I excel in it. Are you hearing me? So if that is the case, time is going. If that is the case, the question then will be, why? Why would it be that important? Why does he think that speaking in tongues is that important? Why is he thanking God for speaking in tongues? Of course, we have said before that it also means for Paul to brag that way, it means that he's probably praying around the clock in other tongues. Because otherwise, how would you talk and say, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all of you? Whether individually, whether put together, none of it sounds very humble. Isn't it? Yeah, so for you to say that, you must be praying a low lot in other tongues. And that also means that Paul's prayer life probably exceeds or extends beyond his closet. Because there's no way you're going to be praying in tongues more than you, or probably around the clock, and all you do is stay in your closet. You know, so some people will say, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, if you're going to pray, you should go into your closet and lock the door. So they go, they enter their room, then they open the closet, then they enter. Yeah, there are people who enter the closet. And say they're going to pray in the closet. Because the Bible says to pray in the closet. How long are you going to be in the closet? Are you still with me? So if you're going to pray like Paul prayed, then it also means that this praying in other tongues is, by all means, something that takes you outside of that your quiet time, so to speak. It means that this is something you do, or he did, and therefore we should do. Because again, if I look at his life, I feel like I want a life like he lived. Then we should live also praying in other tongues beyond the closet. It means that praying in other tongues is a way to pray virtually all day long. So what are the things that pray in other tongues, or why should I pray? Because that's what we're talking about. Why should we pray in other tongues? Amen. Why should we pray in other tongues? Number one, because it is what God promised. When I was starting off as a believer, I told myself that every single thing that God promised, I am going to claim them and receive them and walk in them by the grace of God before I die or the world ends or the rapture happens, whatever we want to call it all. I told myself, if God has 100 things for me, I want to receive 100. I don't want 99. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't want to get to heaven and say, thank God for your life, you got this, you got this. But did you know there was this one also? And I scratched myself, I did not know. So let's look at Acts chapter 2. Okay, so like I said, tonight is a synopsis. We are putting it all together. Acts chapter 2. So the first reason why Paul, or why we should speak in other tongues like Paul, is what? Because it is what God promised. Are you there? So Acts chapter 2, let's look at verse 38. Acts chapter 2 is when the early believers, early Christians first got filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, so they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues. People passing by saw them and heard them praying in other tongues. And they were all amazed. And when they were amazed, they even said, oh, maybe they are drunk. You know, maybe they are drunk. Maybe that's what's happening. And Peter then began to speak to them. And he said, this is not drunkenness. It's so early in the day, we're not drunk, as you think. He said, but this is rather what Joel promised or prophesied about when God prophesied. Okay, so when he prophesied by the inspiration of God. And then ultimately, in verse 38, Peter was still speaking to them. The Bible says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you. Can I hear you say the promise? So it says, for the promise is to you and to your children. So he was talking to the people he was looking at there. He said, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Take note of that. As many as our God will call. So all are far off. We are very far from Jerusalem. Am I right? I think we are far from Jerusalem, isn't it? Or we think we are close? I think we are far enough. So it says to all who are far off. So that, talk to somebody, say that means me. So it says, those who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call, way into the future. There used to be a big challenge back in the day. I don't know whether it still exists now, where the some of the denominational churches, but I don't even know what that means anymore, you know, because they are Pentecostal denominations, isn't it? So I don't know what that means. But let's say non-Pentecostal denominations, their struggle was that people would say, speaking in tongues passed away. They say that has passed away. It went with the apostles. But that's not what Peter said. Peter was trying to interpret this. So remember this every time. If you ever come across somebody who says, no, that passed away the apostles, you say, no, that's not what Peter said was the interpretation of Joel's prophecy. He says, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Mark chapter 16. I need to try to move faster. Mark 16. So read from verse 15. We know this was Jesus when he rose from the dead. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. So he's talked about who these believers, that's why I started from verse 15. Is to tell us who the believers is talking about is. I wanted to read from verse 17, but again, we might not get the full picture. So who are the believers he's talking about? The people who were preached to and received the message and got saved, isn't it? Then he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So he says, this will be the signs, the things that will follow them, the signs that will mark them out. And one of them is what? He says, they will speak with new tongues. Some people have said that meant that if they used to curse a lot, they will not curse again. So if the guy used to swear, he will not be swearing again. You know, if he had a foul mouth, he will not have a foul mouth again. Have you met believers with foul mouths? Have you met Christians who can curse? Anybody? They even curse in Jesus' name. You've met them before. James had to write to them and he said, what? Out of the same mouth is coming cursing and blessings. He thought not to be so. Okay, so that's not what he's talking about. The word there actually, the Greek word, basically means language. So he's talking about language. They will speak with a new language. In fact, it implies a new language that they never knew before. Amen. So he says this will be the signs of the believers. They will speak in languages they never learned. And of course, Paul expounded that in 1 Corinthians 13. And he talked about the fact that there are two categories of those languages. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, there's the tongues of men and of angels. So it means that there are times I can be speaking in other tongues. It's a language I didn't learn, but it could be very well be Chinese. It could very well be Igbo. It could be a language, whatever language. Is it Ishekiri? Abi, what do you say? Ishekiri. It's a Ugbo. Abi, how do you say? So, but if I stood there and I began to speak that, and I'm speaking fluently, then you know that I know he doesn't know this. And that has happened many times. But it could very well be the languages or the languages of angels, whereby it's not a known language on the earth. Nobody knows that. Hallelujah. So we're still talking about why we should speak in other tongues. Number two, because it edifies us. It edifies us. So we're still in 1 Corinthians 14. Very quickly, I think we spent a lot of time on that one. So again, like I said, we're packing it all together and making a nice sandwich tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies. Can I hear you say edifies? Say it again, like you mean it. Good. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That word edifies in the original Greek means charge. Charge. And it actually implies to charge like you charge a battery. So he who speaks in a tongue charges himself. So one of the benefits why Paul would pray in tongues more than you all and be grateful for it is because it keeps him charged. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is. No, is it 1 Corinthians 11? I think it's 1 Corinthians 11. Paul wrote about his ordeal. And he talked about how he had suffered. He talked about how he's been in shipwrecks. He talked about how he had been in fastings often. He had been in hunger. So it says different from fasting. He wrote it too. he had suffered hunger. He had been in fasting. He said he had been beaten with many stripes. Okay. So he wrote about all the things he had been through. And I don't think anybody here has been through half of them. But reading through the scriptures, Paul was never found to be depressed. He was never down. Why? I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, so I stay charged. Hallelujah. I always tell people it's possible not to have a wrong side on your bed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, this is how you apply Christianity to living. This is the real Christian living, is that you do these things in order to live a life that will be considered supernatural by many because you are not like everybody else. All this, I'm in a bad mood. I'm just sad today. I don't even know why. Pray it off. Are you with me? I woke up on the wrong side of my bed. Cut it off. Now we know the wrong side, have we? Call the carpenter. Cut this side off. Are you with me? But stop living that way. And it's possible too. So I'm saying if the man could write, shipwreck often. He didn't say once or twice. Shipwreck often. I think Pastor NY says it's been an accident what, three times. Twice or three times. Serious car accident. More than that. And he said God delivered him. He said, but he doesn't want to be in any again. He knows God will deliver him, but he doesn't want to be in any again. So somebody write, I've been in shipwrecks often. You know, when I think of shipwreck, it's like being in a plane crash. When there's nowhere to go. You understand what I'm saying? You are just waiting for the thing to happen. There's nowhere to go. You're in the middle of the sea. The ship is about to sink. Where are you going? And the man says, it has happened to me often. They beaten him. They even left him for dead at some point. And yet that guy was writing and he said, rejoice. And again, I say to you, rejoice. He wrote another place, said, rejoice always. How is that even possible? I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you. Why? The Bible says, he who speaks in a tongue, edifies himself, charges himself up. Remember, Jesus said, prayer by itself will keep you in high spirits. Luke 18, verse 1. He said, he told them a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay, so then when you now make that prayer, pray in other tongues, it charges you like your battery is being charged. Something is happening supernaturally. Your inner battery is just being charged. It's just being charged. It's just being charged. Hallelujah. So you won't break down because your phone fell. I mean, you know, some people, when you say, my phone dropped, they dropped as well. You know, everybody will have to console and console and console and console. And you think to yourself, life continues. Abi? So it says, he who speaks in a tongue charges himself up. Hallelujah. Jude chapter 20, or Jude verse 20 is the other verse we looked at then. And if you try to open Jude chapter 20, you have failed. Okay, so if you add Jude chapter 20 and you tried to go there, your Bible knowledge is it needs revisiting. Okay, you need to revisit your Bible knowledge a bit. Okay, Jude verse 20, are you there? It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit." I like the Amplified. I'm checking so that you don't put it all up there, but maybe you can put the Amplified. The other ones they should have in their own Bible. It says, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice. Higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." So you are like a skyscraper. Multi-story building. When you are praying in other tongues, it's like you are putting one more floor. One more floor, one more floor, one more floor. Hallelujah. So we ought to pray in other tongues because it edifies us. Number three, it improves our sensitivity to God. How many people are interested in being more sensitive? You know, there are times, I'm trying to remember, something happened recently. And I thought, oh my God. I think you tried to tell me about this. I picked that up, but I didn't pay attention enough. That's like a low sensitivity. You know, that happened. I knew he dropped something and I just went past it. That's low sensitivity. But when everything you pick it clearly, 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 you know, God just dropped this on my heart and all of that. That's improved sensitivity. Okay, praying in other tongues will help you improve your sensitivity. I think what I'll do is I will read the scriptures I have. 1 Corinthians 14 again. By this time, you should know that you should go home and study 1 Corinthians 14. Isn't it? And just study it again and say, everything 1 Corinthians 14. I need to go and look at that 1 Corinthians 14 where this tongue matter is concerned. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. It says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So I want you to take note of that. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. Proverbs 10:27 tells us that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, meaning that God reveals things through our spirit, first and foremost. 1 Corinthians 6:17 tells us that he that is joined to the Lord, he is one spirit with him. So the first place of contact is that spirit. We just have we are connected to God by our spirits. Okay? And that's where we tend to pick things up. So sometimes people say, how would I know if it's God revealing something to me? Very often you would know because you were not even thinking about it. So it wasn't just a mind thing. It comes through your spirit to your mind eventually. That's how come you knew what it was, okay? Because the mind is a seat where you get an interpretation or an understanding of what it was. Are you following what I'm saying? But how you distinguish many times is that you just realize that, why would I suddenly think about Jide? I haven't seen Jide in, 2 years. I haven't spoken to him in 6 months. There's nothing that's happening around here now that, relates to him. Why did he just suddenly come to my mind? So that's why I said, when those things happen to you, take a little time to pray. And pray for Jide. Okay? In case you are Jide and you are watching. We're not saying that there's something specific, but maybe God is saying something. Amen. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? So that's sometimes how you know. So it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It said, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought or as we should. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So pray in the Spirit somewhat, okay? Verse 27. Now he who searches the heart, that heart now represents Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So I'm trying to read all the scriptures on each one, and then I'll say a few things. So maybe that will make us move a little faster. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Emphasis, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. That's what? Tongues. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. So where am I going? I start from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, and it says, when I pray in other tongues, my spirit prays, my mind is unfruitful. Now, whatever part of you use becomes stronger. Okay, so whatever part of you use becomes stronger. Have you ever seen bodybuilders who have V, six-pack, big V, biceps, skeletal legs? Have you ever seen them before? You've seen people like that before. And you thought, this doesn't look great. So what's happened? This guy goes to the gym, doesn't he? But when he goes, he uses the muscles in the upper part of his body. He's not working on the lower part of his body the same way or to the same extent as he's working on the upper part of his body. So it's what you use that gets stronger. Are you with me? So you're wondering why you are weak, in the spirit. It's because you don't exercise that part of you. Are you still with me? So if you learn to pray in other tongues more, you're exercising your spirit. Your spirit becomes stronger, becomes more sensitive. It begins to pick things more. And when I say sensitive, then that takes us to Romans chapter 8, 26, 27, and takes us to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 13. Which shows us that there's a relationship between the revelation, that in the place of praying in other tongues, there is revelation knowledge that becomes exchange. So my sensitivity to pick things from God increases. Because when I pray in other tongues, Romans 8, 26, verse 27 explains, it says, I am praying accurately in the spirit. Okay? It says, and when I'm doing so, he that knows the mind of the spirit knows exactly what I'm praying. Meaning that there is an exchange of information between my spirit and God. of the Holy Ghost. So there's information flow. 1 Corinthians 2:19 says the same. 2:9 rather. It says that many things that God has prepared for us. It says, but those things are revealed to us by His Spirit, and we speak them in other tongues, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So as we pray in other tongues, that's why, again, if you get to 1 Corinthians 14, further down, Paul begins to speak about the fact that when I pray in other tongues, and I pray that I might interpret. Meaning that there is something flowing here that I, again, pray that I might interpret what I'm praying. It's not every single thing that you try to interpret, but what you'll find out is that the more you pray in other tongues, you start getting to a place where you can tell. It's like something begins to flow. As you prayed about this, suddenly you will know I'm praying about this. Are you there? You just know this is what I'm praying about. Suddenly as you are praying it, you know this is the step I'm supposed to take. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Number four. It helps us to pray accurately. Accurately. We've read Romans chapter 8, 26, and it tells us we don't know what we should pray for as we should. Okay? It didn't just say we don't know what to pray for. Note that. It says we don't know what we pray for, what to pray for as we should. Meaning there are times you are just there. I want to pray about my business. But if I were to pray about my business, I'll say, God, bring me investors. Are you hear what I'm saying? I'll say, God, bring me investors. But maybe it's not investors God wants me to deal with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe there's another step. So I will get stuck in what I seem to know. And I'll just pray that if I were just praying in my understanding. But when I switch to praying in the Spirit, he said, then I pray as I ought to. What is the real thing I'm supposed to be praying about this business? I begin to pray accurately. Are you there? Okay, so if we haven't looked at that, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 again. 1 Corinthians 14. This is just the one verse I want us to look at. So add that to the one we've spoken about, which is Romans 8. Okay, so the important thing about Romans 8 is that it says we are limited in prayer very often. We even are concerned about somebody. You want to pray for the person, but you don't even know what to pray. Should God smack his head? Should God give him money? What exactly do you want to pray? You don't even know, but you want to pray for him. Then you pray in other tongues. Because God knows exactly what he needs. What needs to happen to him. Are you with me? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. The Bible says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. What I want you to quickly take note of is that that word mysteries doesn't mean he speaks gibberish or something that, you know, mystery, nobody can has a clue, nobody can ever have a clue. What it actually means in the Greek is he speaks divine secrets. Divine secrets. So it's like code. Now, you remember 1 Corinthians 2 now, don't you? When he says that God has prepared all kinds of things for us, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. So those divine secrets, when you get in the place of praying other tongues, you start praying those secrets. You start praying those secrets. So it's not something that doesn't exist or is so mysterious. It's just that it's a secret. It's not available to everybody else, but it's a secret between you and God that you can discuss in prayer. Are you with me? That's what praying other tongues does for you. Number five, if you arrived early, you know number five. Number five is what? It's an effective way to give God praise, an effective way to praise God, an effective way to worship God. So if you were here early, you already got number five. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 7, Paul says, when I pray in other tongues, I give thanks well. Well, I do it very well. Go to Acts chapter 10. So I'm not going to read that again. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts the 10th chapter. Are you still here? Are you still following? Are you getting anything? You're whispering. I'm trying to hear you. Sorry. Eh? Yes, okay, there are two people who are here and following. Now three and maybe two and a half. Hallelujah. Acts 10, are you there? So this was when Paul went to the house of Cornelius. And then as he was speaking, the Bible says in verse 44, while Peter rather, not Paul. It says, while Peter was still speaking this word, so he was talking to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God. So you want to worship God. You want to exalt him. Try it in tongues. Try it in tongues. You know, have you ever looked at it and you didn't have the words? You didn't have the words to describe him. You didn't have the words to praise him. How many names of God do you know? Anybody, how many names do you know? Somebody was pointing out that there are at least 70. How many out of that do you know? So if you're going to try and you do all the what? Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Nisi. Oh yeah, help me now. Jehovah Jireh. Eh? Jehovah Ephesi. Jehovah Obadu. You see, you're already going outside of syllables. We've only said three or so, and you're already out of syllables. Are you with me? So you see how limited we are. Even just to call his name, we are so limited, we can't even remember. So, but the Bible says you can do it in tongues. And you do it well. Hallelujah. You will exalt him well. You will praise him well. You will thank him well if you did it in other tongues. So when you're in your room and you're just going, it's amazing. Hallelujah. It's amazing. You will call all the names you didn't know, plus more. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so number six, it comes with an endowment with power. And I think we spoke about that also. Yeah, somewhat. You know, it comes with an endowment with power. So there is no, we've called it many times. People have said being filled with the Holy Spirit and the baptism and praying other tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. It's the doorway, meaning that is your entrance to the supernatural. You want to experience the supernatural power of God in your life, learn to pray in other tongues more. So they asked what Spirit Wigglesworth, who had raised about 23 people from the dead. They said, what's the secret? Because he didn't go to school. So it can't be school. He said, so what's your secret? You know. And the man said, I edify myself for about, you know, a couple of hours, and I go out and I edify the people. I edify myself in other tongues. And then I go out and I edify the people. Are you with me? They asked John Gillick, who went to South Africa, raised thousands of churches, returned to the U.S., Spokane, Washington, and at some point they declared Spokane, Washington the healthiest city in America because John Gillick was back there. And he said, what's your secret? He said, tongues have been the making of my ministry. Tongues have been the making of my ministry. Sounds like Paul, isn't it? I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. He said, tongues has been the making of my ministry. That's what I do. That's what made me and this ministry. So all the miracles you are talking of, he said, tongues has been the secret. Are you there? So Jesus sent, of course, the disciples on a mission. Luke 24, very quickly. Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. So sounds like Mark 16, sounds like Matthew 28. That's the last chapters, you know, of those places. And basically, Jesus giving his last words and commands and all of that. So basically, he again had told them, you know, he had risen and all of that, and they were commissioned. But then he says to them in verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And he says what? But tarry. Don't go anywhere yet. Don't go anywhere yet. He said, tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go until you are endued with power from on high. He said, don't be in a hurry. Don't rush out to do it. Just stay here until you are endued with power from on high. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us what? It says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then in Acts chapter 2, we saw that Holy Ghost come upon them. And we saw a transformation actually, straight away. Because we saw a Peter, who small girls had accused. And said, this is one of the disciples. And he said, like God knows, I don't know him. Say, this man, he sounds like one of them. The man said, I swear to God, this man, I've never seen him before in my life. And yet in Acts chapter 2, he stood before thousands of people. He preached the gospel to them. The Bible says 5,000 people got saved. So the same timid Peter, who couldn't face anything, now could stand boldly. Something had happened. There had been a transformation. There was power. Hallelujah. And then we began to read all through the book of Acts. By the time you reach Acts chapter 5, the Bible says that they brought out people and they laid them down by the roadside so that just the shadow of Peter will fall upon them. That's all. He said, just let him walk by, let the shadow fall upon them. And the people the shadow fell upon were healed. So why should you speak in other tongues? Number one, because it's what God promised. Number two, because it edifies us. Number three, it improves our sensitivity to God. Number four, it helps us to pray accurately. Number five, is an effective way to give God praise. Number six, it comes with an endowment with power. Let's stand on our feet tonight. And why don't you just straight away give him praise in other tongues. Appreciate him in other tongues. Magnify him. They heard them pray in other tongues and magnify him. Yakadosa brende lekede bahase. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Legedosa hande lekedosta. Mambrose feketala bahaste brahande. Magnify him. Legedosta brahande. Sokora bahaste brekedishta.